Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, welcome to SBRR, a retrospective on Spirit Box Radio. I'll be going through the show part by part, thinking about the themes and my intentions as a writer. These retrospectives will include heavy spoilers for the show, so please go back and listen before you tune into them. Already caught up? Awesome. I'm Aira Major, creator of Spirit Box Radio. Welcome back to the show. Hey folks, today we're turning our reflective thoughts to the first part of the second season of Spirit Box Radio. This is a really strange period for me to reflect on. By this point in production, their cast was three times the size it had been at the beginning of the show. Some of you wonderful people in the audience of the show had started creating fan works and telling your own stories in this world through fanfiction. Though I don't read fanfics of my work, it's so exciting to see it coming out, and I do like to keep a running total in my mind of how many words of fanfic have been written in total. I think I'll feel like I'm a big shot success when the word count for fic for one of my shows overtakes the word count of the actual project. That's a little milestone that's just for me. Looking back at the time I was creating this season, it was 2021, the world was still very much shut down for COVID reasons, and a lot had changed in the months since I'd launched the first season of Spirit Box Radio in 2020. I think that general sense of anxiety and a desperation to connect with other people really bleeds through into the story, and it's particularly noticeable in this early part of season two.
What are you trying to do exactly anyway?
Well, I had a theory that if I cast a circle and... Oh, it worked! It worked!
What worked?
The red light is glowing. We're live. Welcome back to Spirit Box Radio.
This season actually has my favourite of the three season openings for Spirit Box Radio. I love Sam scribbling on the floor in Kitty's shed, doing everything he can to get the show back on the air. I love that as soon as he manages to do it, he's so incredibly excited to fill everyone in on what's been happening for him.
And then the house. The house. I can't explain what it was like to walk through the rubble. There was nothing there, nothing at all that resembled the only house I can remember living in. It was never a happy place, but it was a home, and I was at times happy there.
The way they outline everything which happened with the house that they've been living in since childhood is so telling of Sam's general headspace, I think. There's an almost dismissive laissez-faire-ness to it, but it's quite thin. You can see through it really easily to all of the emotion underneath. This is the only home Sam has ever known, the closest thing they have to a sense of stability, and it's now a burned-out shell that they spend every day looking at from Kitty's shed at the bottom of the garden. This is a good moment, I think, to talk about the significance of homes and houses in the show. We've touched on the Impossible House a little bit before, focusing on its mechanical function as a representation of Sam's repressed past. The Impossible House is a ghost, which both haunts Sam and is a part of him, a literal manifestation of repressed memory and trauma held outside of himself and represented as his forgotten childhood home. Other homes and living locations are significant in this story too, though. The house that Sam lives in and broadcasts from in season one is a regular house with a basement in it, from which Sam broadcasts the show. The basement was a place Sam was previously not allowed to go, despite being almost entirely confined to the house. It's not a very big house, and so to have this entire floor cut off from him, especially knowing that Madame Marie spent the majority of her time down there, is really heartbreaking. This house is a place of restriction and silence, of memories of Madame Marie and of being confused and feeling pushed out. When Sam describes the house after it's been burned down, he says it has gaping, empty eyes which look down at him. What ought to have been a place of safety is representative to Sam of oppressive supervision.
What about Oliver?
What about him?
Anna says he's been here every time she's been over while I was away. Why don't you go and stay there?
I don't know. It feels like more of a big deal when I go there, you know? It's his space.
And this is mine, and look what you've done to it.
Kitty's shed is worth discussing too. It's where a lot of this season is broadcast from. It's a pretty decent space, like a very well-furnished summer home with a small kitchen. It wouldn't be sustainable for Sam and Kitty to both live there long term, but they manage it temporarily because Kitty is often away. Nobody ever calls it Kitty's house, though. It's always the shed. This speaks to Kitty being deliberately annexed by her mother, and sort of frames her as a tool, something useful to keep by and accessible, like something you might keep in a shed.
Concerns me that you say what rather than who.
What else do we need?
Samael.
Leave it alone, Rytidia.
Fine! Fine! Could you not do that?
What?
Whatever it was you just did.
What did I do?
You compelled me or something.
Moving on to the second episode of the season, here we see a little bit more of the ways Sam has been changed by their experiences in season one, and in particular by the events of the finale. This interaction with Rytidia is one of my favourites. I love how she comes in totally done with Sam's shit, but by the end, she's audibly kind of shaken by his behaviour.
Rytidia, what are you doing?
Leaving.
No, what? We need to try again.
Goodbye, Samael.
Rytidia, just hold on.
I am. To my bag. Goodbye.
Ugh. God damn it.
Something I thought about a lot this season is the way that healing is an active process. And from an external perspective, sometimes when someone is putting in the work to heal from trauma in their past, it can look like their mental health is getting worse, not better. That can lead people close to that person rejecting them. I think Sam is a long way from healing here, but the first steps towards that are being taken. He knows something bad happened, and he's beginning to understand the way that this has impacted him. Like a person reconnecting with lost and hurt parts of themselves, Sam's emotions explode out of them at regular intervals, and they accidentally hurt and frighten people, often due to these unintentional outbursts. One thing that made this season very difficult to write emotionally was that rather than coming to this emotional place with a sense of self-compassion, Sam is very disappointed with themselves and is extremely self-critical. Up to this point, they've had to make themselves small and were criticised for any signs of standing out or reaching out. Madame Marie kept him isolated, and Kitty and Anna, though they do their best to help, sometimes end up reinforcing that messaging because of their own traumas. As a result, when Sam hurts people by mistake, he doesn't really have the emotional tools to cope with it, and it becomes evidence for him that he is, in fact, bad and dangerous. Season 2 of Spirit Box Radio is, in a lot of ways, a study in someone becoming convinced that they are bad fundamentally. People around Sam try to help, but he's not in a place yet where he can reach out and accept that help. And honestly, the people closest to him, Kitty, Anna, and Oliver, do not have the emotional bandwidth to show up for him the way he really needs. It's not something that's fair to expect of them either. Sam needs professional support, which he can't access because he's a magical little guy. And that lack of parental support in their childhood is showing up in full force through season two. They just have never learned how to cope in these circumstances and don't know what to do when things go wrong.
I don't need babysitting.
She's worried about you.
I'm worried about her. She didn't say where she was going. Did you notice that?
I did. She can take care of herself.
So can I.
I know, Magpie.
Episode 3 is a little lighter in some ways. We see the cats beginning to take a more prominent role here.
Welcome back to Spirit Box Radio's Enlightenment segment with me, Sam Enfield, a guy with too many cats. Egg Roll, would you please stop chewing that cable? Please. Thank you.
Though Revel acts as the cat's main representative most of the time, Egg Roll here is making an active effort to engage and disrupt the show's distribution. The cats are, as we learn much later, like Sam's version of the Man in the Flat Cap's servants, his custom Major Arcana. Although Sam does have human Major Arcana in the form of the ghosts and later in other more alive characters, the cats are his first loyal assistants, and notably they show up voluntarily and stay because Sam feeds them and cares for them. In contrast, the Man in the Flat Cap has an animal sidekick which is a dog. Dogs form stronger pack bonds and are associated with loyalty. Cats, on the other hand, are more fickle and more likely to be allowed to come and go than dogs. To the extent to which that in the UK they have laws which mean that cats are legally allowed to freely move wherever they choose to. Cats, then, are all about consent as creatures. While the Man in the Flat Cap needs cooperation and consent from those he exploits in the story, which he obtains through making deals with them, his behaviour is about attempting to obfuscate the terms of those deals and finding loopholes to exploit to his own advantage. The fact that he has a dog and not a cat as a pet is indicative of this need to feel that it will be okay if he mistreats the people around him. To make it absolutely clear, I think that we owe a lot to all of our animals that we choose to keep in our lives, and cats and dogs require different kinds of affection and attention in order to thrive in our care and in our company. And it's really important that whilst here I'm talking about what they represent in a literary sense, I don't mean that it's ever okay to harm or mistreat any animals, and hopefully that is coming through in everything that I'm saying. As literary motifs, dogs can represent loyalty, but they can also represent compliance and meekness and following without question. Cats, on the other hand, can represent freedom, mischief, coming and going. Here, in Spirit Box Radio, they represent a strong focus on consent to participation. I don't think that the Man in the Flat Cap necessarily hurts his dog, either. It seems quite happy whenever we interact with it in the show. I do think it's a significant thing that he only has a dog and no cats in comparison to Sam, who did not seek out any pets but ended up with a small army of cat friends. This distinction is one of motifs and should signify something about the differences between the ways in which Sam and the Man in the Flat Cap treat those around them. Sam's emphasis on consent is stressed repeatedly throughout the show, although those concerns are only beginning to form at this stage at the beginning of season two. I wanted to think a lot about how being able to just get people to do whatever you want at any time could really mess with your head. This is something I'm interested in because it can work pretty well as a metaphor for any kind of power imbalance and is mostly used in Spirit Box Radio to play with ideas of privilege and of being someone with a dedicated audience. Sam has been given a huge amount of power through inheritance, and it comes with significant drawbacks, yes, but it does place him in a position of power over everyone around him. That imbalance is something that he becomes increasingly aware of and is in constant feedback with, especially in his close relationships. Importantly, this position of power is not something that Sam is in control of receiving. He doesn't have a choice. He just is that powerful, and he can't prevent himself from being so. One of his biggest mistakes, which we'll explore in more depth later, is this logical mistake of thinking that because he has this power, it is his responsibility to use it to improve the lives of others, disregarding of whether or not they want this intervention.
If that makes sense. It doesn't. Oh. Don't worry, that's fine. That's the arcane, isn't it?
It is.
And you're okay, aren't you? You're not suffering?
I don't think so.
Well, that's good.
I suppose it is. Do you need anything else?
No. You're fine. Thank you, Beth. You can go.
Alrighty. Bye, Sam.
One of my jumping off points for Sam as a character is his concept of what if the Antichrist was a pathological people pleaser with no self-worth? And that really manifests in these ideas of having power without really knowing what to do with it and how that might affect you. Thinking about Sam as someone who is a people pleaser is really helpful at this point in the story specifically too. Since waking up from his coma, Sam has been encouraged to be compliant with Madame Marie, who exploited his vulnerability and encouraged him to be meek, unassuming, and to believe he has no power or authority. She communicates all this to him so thoroughly that Sam ends up not really having any autonomy at all. Madame Marie does this, I think, because she wants to stop him from abusing his power, but really she's set him up to fail here by teaching him that he exists to serve others and is not allowed any autonomy of his own. The fact of the matter is that Sam has a huge amount of power, and instead of teaching him how to manage that and how to meet his own needs in healthy ways, Madame Marie teaches him that he doesn't matter and his power is insignificant. This is hugely dangerous. Sam's power is significant. He is capable of being a danger to himself and to others, and he cannot meet his own needs by trying to meet the needs of others. But this is the only method he's been taught. The result is that Sam desperately tries to make himself as small as possible all of the time, ignoring his own feelings and instincts and explosively lashing out whenever things go slightly wrong or he thinks he may be inadequate or incapable of meeting the needs and expectations of those around him. It's a recipe for disaster, essentially. It also connects with the rhetoric of Arcanists, which we hear in full from Nagisa for the first time in Season 2, Episode 7.
You will not read of my books nor beg of my wares. You will not ask of me questions, for I will not bear an answer. The knowledge you seek will come only unsought. Read those words and understand them. Arcanism is not a community. We work alone.
This sense that Arcanism is designed around isolation and a violent need for individualism speaks more broadly to Sam's own individual sense of responsibility for the well-being and emotions of those around him. This section of episodes, which we're cutting off at episode 9, comes to an end with Sam attempting to destroy the true Arcanist tarot deck.
These cards. This deck. I don't want it. None of it. It's not good. I just can't. I can't and I won't. Burn, you fuckers. What? No. No, don't go out. Burn. Burn. Why won't you burn? Oh, my nose.
He's trying to get rid of this thing which represents his power, his involvement in the Man in the Flat Cap schemes. They are explicitly attempting to remove themselves from the equation, rejecting the information the cards have given them, but it doesn't work. They can't escape. No matter what, Sam is who they are. Trying to become someone else is not going to help them. The only way out is through. I hope you enjoyed discussing these first few episodes of Season 2 of Spirit Box Radio. This season was very difficult to make, and it's been fascinating to spend this time with it now that I'm removed from the process of putting it together. Let me know your own thoughts on this section of the show and whether or not there are things I didn't pick up on here which you think are significant. Continuing the trend from last week, I'd like to spotlight another show today. I'd like to shine a little light on Camlann, which is a fabulous fantasy post-apocalyptic retelling of Arthurian myths and legends. It has some of the best writing and sound design in the audio drama world right now, in my opinion. This show takes such care reimagining the familiar myths of Arthur in a way that feels both true to the source material and relevant to today. Camlann also explores lesser-known Celtic myths, including some of my favourite stories from the Mabinogion, which, if you don't know, is a book of Welsh folklore. It's a strong recommendation from me to anyone who already loves Arthurian myths and legends, and also makes a wonderful starting point to those who are interested but don't yet have a huge amount of familiarity with the stories. It's super accessible and it's full of wonderful queer characters. Ella Watts has done a fabulous job with the story and the characters feel so real. And Amber of Tin Can Audio has truly outdone themselves with the sound design on the show. It's spectacular work. I hope you check it out. You can find it by searching Camlann, which is Camlann, wherever you listen to podcasts, or by following the links in the description of this episode. Next time we'll be discussing episodes 10 through 19 of season 2, which brings us up to the mid-season finale. I'm really looking forward to it. Until next time, folks, remember to stay spooky.
Tune in. Get spooky.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.